This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Another day, another proposal in the glass bubble that is Major League Baseball. I don't know how many other people around the country can identify with what baseball is going through right now or the fight that they are putting themselves in, but at least it makes sense in their own glass bubble. It makes sense in their own brilliant minds. Yep, we have ourselves another proposal that we can sigh or snicker over, I guess, depending upon your perspective. But here's what you need to know. Bottom line, it will be rejected by the other side. Shocking. You don't say. Another proposal that won't be accepted. Stop me if you've heard this before. Yep. We've got the latest proposal that will not be accepted. At this point, I feel like they should just let us know when they've got something. I honestly don't care anymore how many proposals don't work. How about just get to one that does? And my bigger concern is when. I'm really over the how much and the what. I'm over the how. I just want to. I'm really over the who. I don't even care anymore about the who.
So why?
I don't care about the why either. The why should be the easy part, actually. What I care about is the when. When. Wake me when we have a start date for Major League Baseball. Because honestly, honestly, Terry, this is a waste of time. It really is. Now, if this were a busy spring in sports like what we are used to or have been used to in the past, well, then we wouldn't be talking about this nearly as much. So I recognize in 2020, the earth is turned on its axis. And so we have all kinds of time to be able to snicker or sigh over baseball's latest rejected proposal. Again, that's what you really need to know. It will be rejected, but I'll give you the details. Because that is what I do. I'm like baseball's lackey. I trot out the latest proposal, as does every other person who works in sports, radio, and TV, not to mention the insiders, the reporters who are trying to see if the two sides are any closer to a deal. Not really. I'll even give you a spoiler alert when I start to talk details. If you just want to check out and wait until baseball has something concrete, I certainly understand. In the meantime, it's the Hump Show, another edition of the Hump Show. It is hard to believe that we're working through week 12 from the After Hours Super Secret Home Base, which smells right now. Seriously, it does. It smells like bad cookies. Have you ever smelled bad cookies? Because I haven't until tonight. Usually when I make cookies, the house smells amazing. Whether it's the chocolate, whether it's the peanut butter, whatever it is, that smell usually, especially when I have the heat or the AC on, that smell usually wafts and drifts all through the house. It's a pretty small house, so not a great feat. But tonight, the house smells like bad cookies.
Sorry.
I wish I had someone to blame it on. I still don't really know what happened, but there is a moral to the story, and I will share that story with you coming up on this edition of After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact the team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. A couple of guests on tonight's show as part of this middle show of the work week. Well, one is a surprise, so I'm not going to tell you who she is. It's always cool. We have another female in sports to join the show. I'll wait until she's actually with us. So she's coming up in a half hour, and she is going to change the course of your night because she is creative and she is charismatic and she is bubbly. She and her enthusiasm put me to shame as much as people talk about my enthusiasm. She is incredible. Now, she's told me that she was going to take a nap of sorts before she joined the show. So she's in the central time zone, and she said, I'm going to set multiple alarms, and I'm going to wake up, and I'm going to bring it. I'm like, okay, I don't know if I could do that. Well, there are times when I have to do that. In fact, our boss has conference calls every other week in the middle of the day because he says that's the easiest way for everyone to get together. So there are times when I feel the same as maybe what she will feel. I wake up after a few hours sleep and have to get on a video call. Now, in her case, she does not have to be on video. This is radio, but it's something that she's familiar with as a longtime radio host herself until she recently retired. So I'm excited. It's going to be a lot of fun. And as I say, it's going to inject some great energy into the show. So in the meantime, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. In addition to our mystery guest coming up in a few minutes, in fact, this hour, we will also talk to Chuck Cooperstein of the Dallas Mavericks. So a longtime radio voice. And he's another piece of the NBA puzzle, right? And the Mavericks certainly are a big piece of this. They were in the midst of surging toward the playoffs when the NBA suspended its season. First playoff spot for the Mavericks in a few years. And they've overhauled their roster. It looks a lot different. They've got the young guns. They love Luka. He's the foundation of their future moving forward. And they added Kristaps Porzingis, which is also something they're excited about. How will the 4 month, it'll be roughly 4 months by the time they get to Orlando, by the time they get to the point where they're ready to go again, how will that 4 month or this 4 month layoff affect the Mavericks? Plus, Luka Doncic is not in the United States, and so he will have to return to the U.S. So looking forward to talking to Chuck Cooperstein, a colleague from my previous network, and so it'll be fun to have him on the show tonight. I just want to say we're not going to talk about burgers on the show, though. Like I said, I do have a cookie story, a bad cookie story to tell you. But I had so much fun reading all of your responses to our burger question. In fact, I even got text messages from friends who saw it on social media and other colleagues who listened to the show and happened to catch it. The craziest toppings you've ever put on your burgers. And some of you, you're crazy, all right, but I like it. A good kind of crazy. You may be right. I may be crazy, but it just may be a lunatic you're looking for. Well, some of you are a little bit loony when it comes to your burgers, but as we talked about on the show last night, Dave and Andrew Bogish, who is our anchor in the final hour, and I have all committed to try peanut butter on our burgers the next time we have them. Producer Chris is in studio tonight, and I would like to know if producer Chris is willing to jump in and take the peanut butter burger challenge with us.
Yeah, I think in this particular challenge, although Dave backed up his chubby bunny talk, I think we can all outdo him in this one. I think he's going to cower at the sight of peanut butter on a burger, and we will rise victorious like the phoenix.
Wait, is it a competition?
I think we can make it into one, and I think Dave's going to lose.
Wait, meaning what? If we all eat peanut butter on our burgers, it's about how much of the burger we eat? What's the challenge? I need to know.
I think Dave will not be able to finish the burger.
Oh! Well, here's the crazy thing. I can eat anything with peanut butter on it. I may not like it. It may not be a meal that I go back to over and over, but I can eat anything with burgers. So if that's, or with peanut butter, if that's the challenge, I'm winning. I'm beating you both. Because it doesn't require stuffing 100 marshmallows in my mouth and not laughing while I'm doing so. All right. So challenge has been issued by producer Chris, who believes that Dave won't even be able to finish the burger. Just wait until I tell you my cookie story. I mean, you never would have thought that Amy Lawrence wouldn't be able to finish a cookie, but oh dear. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Matt Ryan doing extensive comments today about the Falcons, about Todd Gurley, about the challenges of preparing for a season during a pandemic, and also about Colin Kaepernick. I'm not sure if you saw this, but Malcolm Jenkins, who, of course, was very outspoken and emotional in his reaction to Drew Brees not quite a week ago, who is now a teammate of Drew Brees. Malcolm Jenkins, who was on that Eagles Super Bowl roster when, according to Nick Hardwick, last night's guest, they were galvanized by the support that Chris Long gave to Malcolm Jenkins and the others who were kneeling during the national anthem as a form of protest. If you missed that conversation, Nick was fantastic. And he talked about Drew Brees and what he thinks this controversy and this emotional situation, because it definitely is, will mean for the Saints this season. But you can get that on our podcast. Our website is afterhoursamylawrence.com. We did put the link up on both Twitter and Facebook earlier on Tuesday. Back to Malcolm Jenkins. So now Jenkins is in the Saints locker room. He has previously met with Roger Goodell on different occasions to talk about the NFL's effort to be more proactive in fighting social injustice and supporting the players who are on the front lines in this battle. Jenkins is now asking Roger Goodell and the league to go a step further. Now, you remember on Friday afternoon, the video that Roger Goodell posted on social media, we played it multiple times here to start the work week, and I'm sure we can play it again at some point, but in that video, Goodell said we were wrong and that the NFL would support players in fighting for social justice. In fact, he supported their right to peaceful protest, which is why there are a lot of people who believe you're going to see more people protesting during the national anthem, or maybe not so much the anthem, but you're going to see it, the protests on the sidelines this fall in the NFL. It will likely be the anthem, but maybe not limited to that. And there is some talk that Roger Goodell may be part of it as well. But Jenkins is saying the NFL has to take an even further step. Hopefully we can grab some of this audio, but he was on CBS this morning, Tuesday, and he said, I still don't think the NFL has gotten it right until they apologize specifically to Colin Kaepernick or assign him to a team. Now, that part is awkward, and I'm sure you can figure out why. But Jenkins goes on to say, I don't think that they will end up on the right side of history. So Jenkins, who I admire for the way that he's put his actions where his mouth is, he's not only spoken out about injustice that he sees, but he's also worked in, I think it's the South Philadelphia community. He spent time with law enforcement. He's gone to trainings. There's a guy who is also in the trenches to work toward the goals that he sees and the goals that are important to him. The issue is, and the NFL may apologize to Colin Kaepernick. I wouldn't be surprised by that, except I'm not sure where the grievance with Colin against the NFL for collusion stands. I don't know if that's been thrown out. I don't know if that's still hanging in the balance. If his attorneys are still trying to force that through. Actually, I take that back. I'm just seeing it as I was looking all the way down at the very bottom of this column. They settled their collusion case last year. Okay, so collusion case has been settled. If the NFL apologizes to him in any specific form, does that reopen potentially another case for collusion? If the NFL says, you know, we're sorry, does that, in the league's eyes, admit that they colluded? I'm not sure how that works. Could it be used against them? Now, whether or not you think the league did collude, I don't think it's even necessary. And I've said this before on the show, where we don't necessarily need to get into that debate. I don't think it was necessary for the league to collude. I don't think the owners got together and said, yo, don't sign Colin Kaepernick. It's really bad for the NFL. Now, I could be wrong, but I don't think owners needed to do that. I think for the most part, other than the Seahawks a couple of times that they were kind of interested in potentially bringing in Kaepernick, for the most part, teams were shying away on their own for a variety of reasons. Maybe they didn't want the distraction. Maybe they didn't want the PR. They didn't want all the extra attention. Maybe they didn't have a spot on their roster, didn't feel like it was the right place for them, whatever it is. I don't think that NFL owners, billionaire owners, take kindly to having someone else tell them who they can and cannot sign. So I don't believe that they ever colluded. But I could be wrong. The other piece of what Malcolm Jenkins says is they should assign him to a team. Again, how does that work? You can't stick him on a team just to appease people who want to see him back in the NFL. You can't make a team sign him. That's not how it works. So I'm not sure what Malcolm Jenkins is saying. There are veteran quarterbacks right now who don't have jobs, like Cam Newton. And so I'm not sure what he means by that. But again, that appearance on CBS this morning is Jenkins asking the NFL to take a step, an even greater step. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Coming up, the latest proposal that will be rejected. This one goes from the players in baseball to the owners. I guess if we're looking to fill some time. No, I'm just kidding. I have plenty of stories, like my bad cookie story that I could use to fill time. I'll share it with you because the whole process is ridiculous. 855-212-4227 on Twitter or on Facebook. It's good to have you on board for the Hump Show. Send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. We'll do that in a couple hours. And I always look forward to hearing what you come up with. Thanks so much for tuning in to CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
We, the National Football League, condemn racism and the systematic oppression of black people. We, the National Football League, admit we were wrong for not listening to NFL players earlier and encourage all to speak out and peacefully protest.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Part of Roger Goodell's apology, representing NFL owners and the league itself to players and to those who have protested in the past. And he says that the NFL will support all peaceful protests. The idea being, of course, that if players choose to use the sidelines as the opportunity to protest coming up in the fall, that the NFL is on board with it. And there will not be the same fight as there was going back to the 17 season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Commissioner Roger Goodell, Commissioner Gary Bettman, Commissioner Adam Silver, and then Commissioner Rob Manfred, the four commissioners of the major pro sports leagues in our nation. Yes, I know MLS is out there too, but you know, the four major team sports. I feel like I almost should apologize to people who are going to get offended by that, but just go with it. I was thinking about the narrative around Roger Goodell the last week, and then I was thinking about Rob Manfred and baseball's pickle. I'd also been thinking about Adam Silver. I had talked to some people inside the NBA world the last couple days. We know the NBA community generally raves about Adam Silver. And then Gary Bettman, who's been low profile as always over the course of this pandemic, but did earn rave reviews for his leadership in getting the return to play plan out there even before the NBA. So on this hump show, whether you choose to respond about one of the commissioners or all four, how would you describe them? And I'm looking for one or two words. I'm not looking for a thread of tweets or a really long Facebook post. And again, you can go right down the line with all four, or you can just respond about one. I'll give you an example. Adam Silver, in my mind, he is progressive, and he wants to be progressive. He wants to be on the front lines. He wants to be the leader of a league that sets the tone and is first. So I see Adam Silver as progressive when it comes to race relations, when it comes to promoting players and making sure they use their platforms, when it comes to wading into the muck with players. The commissioner is very much pro-player and very progressive and seemingly up with the time, so to speak. So that's one example. How would you describe, maybe an adjective or two, not inappropriate language, you know, but an adjective or two to describe each of the four major commissioners of the pro sports leagues in our country? On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, and it's easy peasy while you're there. You can also send your questions or post your questions for Ask Amy Anything. With Rob Manfred, and just to clarify, these commissioners are not autonomous. Okay, all of these commissioners work for the owners. They're essentially CEOs of multi-billion dollar corporations. In the case of the NFL, it's the stated goal of CEO / Commissioner Roger Goodell that they will reach $25 billion with a B, $25 billion in revenue over the next 5 to 10 years. Likely to see a setback in 2020. Although I do believe you'll see some stadiums with some fans in the stands. NASCAR is about to get to that point, by the way, where it's allowing guests at the tracks. But we'll get to that a little bit later on. So these guys are CEOs. They're appointed by the owners to serve as essentially the figurehead, the mouthpiece, the guy who's in charge, who's on the front lines, and kind of deflecting everything for the owners. He represents the NFL owners. Rob Manfred represents the Major League Baseball owners. And there is some power that's given to him, but he doesn't have any of it without the baseball owners agreeing. Right now, he's got the power to set the number of games for the upcoming baseball season. If it gets down to that, Manfred can set the number of games and the start date on his own. That power was handed to him by this March agreement in which the players agreed that they would take only money for the games that they played in 2020. Who knew it would be so controversial? They've gone back and forth. Players have suggested as many as 114 games. Owners have proposed as few as 40 to 50 games. The latest proposal, it's somewhere in the middle. By the way, it's going to be rejected. But the latest MLBPA proposal to the owners is for 89 games at the full prorated salary. And they're giving up the expanded playoffs, if you believe the sources that are out there, Carl Ravitch being one of them. I saw Jeff Passan say that the players are less concerned about the number of games because the most important thing, in fact, he called it the only thing that's critical for the players, in their opinion, is to get their full prorated salaries. In fact, he says, suggests they're more concerned about the money than they are about their safety, which I think we've kind of figured out. I think it's pretty obvious. So the latest players' offer is 89 games. They're down from the 114 they suggested, what was it, 2 weeks ago? But they're up from where the owners were yesterday. And they're all about their prorated salaries. Right now, for them, any proposal that doesn't include the full prorated salaries is a non-starter. But you know what? The owners are just as dug in. Any proposal that includes full prorated salaries for more than 50 games, well, that's off the table as well. So we are where we are, the same as we were yesterday, and the day before that, and the day before that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. How would you describe Commissioner Rob Manfred, or Roger Goodell, or Gary Bettman, or Adam Silver?
I gotta get my money. I'm not playing unless I get mine, okay? And that's just the way it is for me. Like,
yeah, we figured that out. Blake Snell speaking for the Players Union universally. So on Twitter or Facebook, and then also you can give us a call a little bit later. Straight ahead, though, our surprise, bubbly, enthusiastic guest who is changing the narrative, specifically in college sports. Excited to introduce you to her. Right now, Bob Uessler with us for just a couple of seconds. Bob, I wanted to follow up on our conversation that we had last night at this time, where we asked you about the craziest thing you ever put on a burger. And you mentioned an egg that you'd like to try that. And you also said pepper jack cheese, which, just so you know, I made fun of you the rest of the show. But
deservedly.
Here's my question. Many people, I would say probably 35 to 40 people who responded to the question about the craziest thing you ever put in a burger said peanut butter. So we now have a bit of a show pact that the next time we have burgers, we will all try peanut butter. I would like to know if you will join us in this crazy peanut butter burger endeavor.
Oh, I would love to do that. I've not been a, let's say, quote unquote, peanut butter guy in recent years. I've kind of gotten away from that, but I'd love to go back to that. Give it a shot and certainly count me in.
Okay. All right.
Can I add one other thing?
Yes.
This shows you I do have time on my hands, Amy. I actually I researched the question that you put out there, crazy things to put on there, and I'll give them a plug. Evidently, Mark Wahlberg and his brothers have this hamburgers chain called Wahlburgers.
Yes.
And they have a burger that they call the Thanksgiving Day Special.
Really?
Yes, stuffing and cranberry sauce on the burger and a roasted butternut squash bun. And you know what?
Whoa.
I'm in.
Well, let's start with the peanut butter first, but that does sound pretty amazing. So you report back. You don't have to have the burgers this week, but when you do, report back on your peanut butter burger, all right?
Within a week, I will be telling you how that peanut butter slid down.
Awesome.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Still on that right hash. Lawrence will take the shotgun snap, first and 10 of the 19. Goes at left side, outside the numbers, has Higgins. Higgins turns it up that sideline and goes into the end zone. Touchdown! Higgins caught it at about the 8 and just turned it right north-south and took it into the end zone for 6.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Can't wait for the return of college football. Don Munson on the Clemson Radio Network. For years, that was the arena where my next guest operated, specifically as a sportscaster and a talk show host, and buried inside college football, SiriusXM. Rachel and I, sisters in this life, this career that we have led. Until recently, she made a drastic career change, and man, it is working out in ways that I'm sure she couldn't have even have envisioned. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Pleased to welcome live from Nashville, Tennessee, my friend Rachel Barbeau, who is a recently retired sportscaster and the founder of I'm Changing the Narrative, which she will explain. But Rachel, I know this is not your normal time of operation. How are you feeling?
Well, I have to tell you, I'm normally a night owl. So this is like maybe an hour ish past what I normally get some work done. So I watered the garden at midnight. I'm not kidding. I watered the garden. During quarantine, I grew myself a little vegetable garden. So I did that. I vacuumed at 11:30. I mean, these are the things that I did waiting for you, my friend.
I love this. This is fantastic. I've already warned my audience. Well, warned is not maybe the right word, but that you would bring all kinds of enthusiasm, might even make me look like I was calm and laid back, because I know I'm really excited to have you on the show. And also, before we jump into work stuff, congratulations on getting engaged, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you. I was just telling somebody the other day, you don't get to choose a lot of times. A lot of things you don't get to choose in love, I don't think. I mean, you choose it, but things happen. And I'm a believer myself, and I know you are, and things happen. And I was always looking. I was always looking for my love, but I had this career, and it was awesome. And I didn't meet my love till a little bit later on in life. I'm very blessed and very fortunate, and I'm going to marry my best friend. So it's a good time in my life. How about that?
That is awesome. So you give me hope and inspire me, which I have to cling to that too. So Rach, you did sports casting, variety of different outlets, a lot of college sports for nearly 20 years. And then you decided to retire. What pulled you away from what you were doing?
So in 2016, we were on the heels of Penn State. We were right in the thick of Baylor. I remember there were guys getting in trouble from Jeffrey Simmons, who's rehabilitated his life at Mississippi State at the time, to Boise State. I mean, there were guys getting in trouble across the country, and it was domestic violence, sexual violence, big issues. And I remember thinking, that I knew that there were great guys that were coaching and playing, but they were getting painted with a broad brush for people that were not doing it the right way. And so in 2016, I was just audacious enough, Amy, to believe that I could affect change. And I started this crazy movement called, at that time, Changing the Narrative. And it was purpose, passion, platform. What would you do if you weren't on the field or the track or the pool? Like, what were you born for? Because you weren't born just to play sports. And I did it for 4 years. And the last year, 2019, I lost my mom in 2019 after a cancer battle, and had my own battle with, and a dark night of the soul where I had suicidal ideations. But even before that, that whole last year, I felt like I was straddling two different worlds. And one was, hey, after a game, let me put a microphone in your face. But oh, by the way, I know all your secrets. I know your anxiety. I know what happened with your mom. I'm a mentor to you. And I really felt like it was time. I had been analyzing and breaking down players for 17 years, and I really felt like it was time to motivate and lift up. And so I made one of the toughest decisions of my life, and I walked away from sportscasting to do this full time.
How does it work? How do you get the opportunity to stand in front of a team in a locker room or to address a group of athletes and share your message?
Well, it started back in 2016. It started, listen, everything in life is a relationship. I always tell people when I was mentoring, female broadcasters or now everything's a relationship. You don't want to step on somebody because they're going to come back around. You don't treat people like that. You take care of people, and I'm a relationship person. And so, when I decided to create this curriculum back in 2016, there was a very famous sports psychologist, and he worked with Jimbo Fisher down at FSU. And he said, he wants you to come into and speak to his program. And I was like, what? Like when I envisioned this program, I thought high schools, and now I do have a program for high schools online, but I never really even put two and two together, Amy. That's like the craziness of this. So then FSU happened. And then 6 months later, Dabo Swinney lets me address his football team 16 days before they dismantle Ohio State en route to a national championship. Wow. I mean, it was insane. Didn't ask me about my notes. Didn't ask me what I was going to talk about. Just that trust, that relationship of years of being inside the business. And then one thing happened, one school and then another school. And then it was Baylor after Matt Rhule got there and was enacting change. And then Alabama. And before you know it, we are standing here now 4 years later, 40 plus schools. Many schools have me in multiple times. And, you know, LSU is one of my, teams, just won the national championship. Minnesota, one of my teams. And the movement has really grown. It's not just football teams now. It's all sports. I also speak to queens because my belief is that inside of every one of us exists a king or a queen. Mm. And because of stuff I call funky junk, that might be trauma, that might be unforgiveness, that might be bitterness, that might be a whole host of things, right? Mental health issues. We can't look – a lot of us can't look ourselves in the mirror. And there was a point in time in my life where I couldn't look myself in the mirror. I didn't love the person that was staring back at me. Right? I didn't recognize I was a queen. So therefore, I didn't have standards and boundaries by which I let people treat me. And I was a mess. And when I started to recognize that there was one of me in the entire world, that I was a queen, I started to have those healthy standards and boundaries. I started to love myself. I started to value myself, and everything else changed. And so the movement started with purpose, passion, platform. But then it grew into this, like I said, this idea of kings and queens and how to date. Right? My own experience with domestic violence. You know, I tell them, if you were in that house that night, would you have protected me? And they scream, they cry, they say yes. And then it expanded because of my own life. It expanded to mental health. Mm. And I recognized that we have to start addressing self-care and mental health. And it's been a beautiful ride. And we've done so much, Amy, but I feel like we're really just scratching the surface, because now we're expanding out beyond just colleges and getting into corporations and Border Patrol and Pro Football Hall of Fame. And it's really an evergreen message from your age 6 to 96.
Mm. Rachel Barbeau is the founder of I'm Changing the Narrative after a nearly 20-year career in sportscasting, and a lot of it in college sports, but also going beyond that now, too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So how do you start then? Let's say you're standing in front of the Clemson football team, or you're standing in front of a room of female athletes who, you know, you and I were both in that stage in college, mm-hmm. where a lot of young women are insecure. They care so mm-hmm. much what people think of them, and as you say, they go to great lengths to be loved. We do. It's something I did when I was younger, at a hard time with boundaries. So where do you start? It's such a mammoth job and a humongous message.
Yeah, so it's great, and I've refined it over the years, and you know, for some schools like that I've been to multiple times, like PJ Fleck, he'll say, I don't want to have a ton of different speakers to talk about these different things. I'm going to bring you in because I know you can talk about dating, self-worth, mental health, you know, all these different topics, right? So it's been refined for sure, and I meet with coaches. I was just at Texas Tech before the quarantine started, sat down with Coach Wells and said, you know, kind of what do you want me to talk about? Because I can talk about a lot of different things. So I definitely sit down with the coaches, and we kind of hone in on what they feel like their team needs. But when I address women, when I address queens, I start it, and I say, where are my queens at? And I say, well, you know, and I get them to raise their hands, and they're like, woo, woo, you know. And then some look at you like what? And it is that, because I'm standing in front of them, I'm not preaching to them. Here's the crazy thing that happens, Amy, and it's beautiful and crazy. I have players tell me all over the country, and I even hear them on Zooms, because I've been doing a ton of Zooms and work during the quarantine. They say, oh, another motivational speaker. And by the end of it, they send me messages, and they were like, oh, Ma, they call me Ma, Coach Rachel, Miss Rachel, I thought you were another motivational speaker, but you were the best thing I ever heard, or you changed my life. And so when I speak to women, it's where my queen's at. When I speak to men, I tell them, for some of you, you will walk out of here and you will never be the same. If you have the heart to get it, if you have an open heart and an open mind today, for some of you, I am telling you, your life will never be the same. I know it, because thousands of lives have been changed across the country. Guys have forgiven deadbeat dads. Guys are saying, I'm going to be a better father. Guys have mended relationships with their families. Guys have, and gals, but guys have forgiven their fathers that are incarcerated. I mean, crazy amount of life change has happened. So when you start it like that, and really grab their attention with truth, with reality, with my life, and here's the crazy thing, it's It's just my life, Amy. All these pitfalls, highs, lows, all of it together has combined to make this incredible story. And I'm just very blessed that I get to go and tell it across the country.
I literally have 60 seconds. I know that you understand because we got hard outs in radio.
Yeah,
but
totally.
A couple of the impacts that you have seen.
Big one. A guy literally, he said, I left here and I was so moved because he said kings do hard things. And I called my deadbeat dad and I told him I forgave him. Ugh. Another guy told me he forgave the father that wanted him to be aborted. Another guy said, in 1 hour, you made me a better son, a better father, a better boyfriend, and all kinds of queens getting into therapy after having trauma. After being assaulted. So beautiful, beautiful things happening.
Well, it's amazing, and it's just the beginning. If you can hear the passion of Rachel's voice, you know it's just the beginning. It's called I'm Changing the Narrative. She founded it a few years ago, and it's taking off in incredible ways. After her 20 years in sports casting, she's got that trust. She's got that place. And you can find her on Twitter at Rachel Barbeau, B-A-R-I-B-E-A-U. I know people find you. You're active. And we'll have you on the show again. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes. It just makes me so happy.
Thank you, my friend.
I told you she would bring the enthusiasm. I told you she would bring the passion. Gosh, Rachel and I have been on various panels or different conferences together. And I've always wanted to have her on the show to be able to give her the chance to share her story. And so I would really encourage you to check her out on Twitter. She's got all kinds of videos and little stories that she puts up. She also has a YouTube channel where there are videos that you can see her in action in the locker rooms, as she mentioned, with some of the most high profile football teams in the college world, but also with, you know, smaller groups of young women. And that passion is so evident. She's a gift, right? I mean, once we find the gift, we find the passion, we find what we're on this earth to do, and we can share that, it becomes this incredible blessing to us as well as to those people that we are speaking to. So I'm just so, so thankful for Rachel and her live appearance from Nashville. All right, it's our hump show coming up next. Commissioners on display. How would you evaluate and how would you describe what they're doing right now during the pandemic? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.